Oh, man. Thank God for zeal, huh? And then thank God for youth. And then thank God for old people. Because we still got zeal too, right? Pastor Tom, do you still have zeal? Oh, yeah. Pastor Tom always has zeal. Whenever I go worshiping with him someplace in a new place, I go, oh, my gosh, here he goes again. And he's going to bounce around and... He's awesome, man. He has a heart and a zeal for God, man. You don't ever want to lose that. We had our big weekend, right, this last week. Thank you, college students. Thank you for making us young here at Living Faith Fellowship. I love that. And also want to thank all of you that are taking the Carpenter Series. I'm thankful that you care enough about your faith to want to continue to grow in it. And I just encourage you. You know, it doesn't have any value unless it's worth something. And it's not really worth something if it's just out there and you don't kind of do something for it. And I just appreciate the energy and the effort you're putting into your relationship with Jesus Christ. And as a congregation, we need to put in that energy and relationship, that zeal, that excitement, that I don't care what people think. And I think as we move forward, we're going to be changing a world. We're going to be changing our city. We're going to be changing a culture. Because today, ladies and gentlemen, we must change a culture. We have a culture that's ingrained in things that are not of the kingdom of God. And they're swaying the rest of the world in that direction. And if we don't rise up with a countercultural and do something that's great and wonderful and awesome and show them another way to live, another value system to ascribe to, we're gonna move in the wrong direction. As Christians, we need to rise up. We need to rise up. We need to reach our full potential. I've been talking about reaching our full potential. We did an acronym for five things we need to do in order to reach our full potential. We talked about relationships, evangelism, accountability. The C stood for calling. We talked about it last week since the college students were up at the retreat. We talked about zeal, having zeal to fulfill our call. And we said that zeal makes us forget ourselves. Zeal makes us forget ourselves. And I asked you this question. We went through four people that did it. David, Jesus, Paul, and we are supposed to do it. I said, what would life be like if we totally forgot ourselves and totally lived for God? What would it be like? What would your life be like if you just forgot about yourself, forget about it, and just lived totally sold out for the kingdom of God? Well, we have the R-E-A-C, and this morning I want to give the H to our acronym on REACH. I know a lot of people had a lot of guesses at what it was going to be. Hope, healing, humility, harmony, happiness. You know, one person who was going to look in a dictionary for all the H words that were in the Bible and try to find the best one. I think I've come up with this one, and maybe after worship this morning, you probably have guessed it, because Gloria at the big weekend, she guessed it. The H stands for the Holy Spirit. If we're going to reach our full potential, if you're going to reach your full potential in God, if you're going to fulfill your calling that God has upon you, you need to reach out and receive strongly the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. To truly reach your potential, you need the Holy Spirit in a greater measure. And you even have Him today. Because that's my encouragement, is that we grow in this understanding of what the Holy Spirit does and is for us. It's interesting that the Holy Spirit was there in the very beginning. We only go to the second verse of Genesis 1 and we see the Spirit already at work. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. The Spirit of God was hovering over this earth. The Holy Spirit was hovering. The Holy Spirit started doing. The Holy Spirit started moving. We see Him at the very beginning in Genesis. We also see Him at the very end in Revelations. We're only five verses from the very end of the book of Revelation. From the very start to the very end, we go to the very end of the book, and it says in Revelation 22:17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. We're saying, come, Holy Spirit, right? And let him who thirsts, come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. What a great invitation God gives to each and every one of us to live forever and ever with him in heaven. And he says, it's a free gift. You just have to take it. Take it in. We see the Holy Spirit at the beginning. We see the Holy Spirit at the very end. And 617 other times in verses throughout this, throughout the book of the Bible, we see the Holy Spirit. We see him moving. We see him doing. We see him touching. We see him creating. We see him doing something powerfully for us. You want to fulfill your calling? You want to reach your full potential? You need the Holy Spirit. The word Spirit is the Greek word pneuma. I love it. Pneuma. Pneumatic tools. We think of the definition of the word means a current of air, a breath, a breeze. There's this idea that there's this breeze, this Spirit. I like it that the Holy Spirit is likened to the wind, to the breeze. You can't see it, but you can feel the effects of it. Like the wind, you can't see it. You don't know where it's going, but you can feel the effects of it. In worship, you don't know, hey, what's the Spirit? And all of a sudden you start feeling something inside of your spirit, inside of your gut that starts rising up. You're going, wow, I'm starting to feel something. I'm starting to feel something. I'm starting to feel the moving of the Spirit of God. John 3, 5 and 8, Jesus describes salvation to Nicodemus, and he says, Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. That whole idea of being born again is moving from the idea that I was born in the physical, I was born in the flesh, but I have this born again, this birthing of the Spirit, of the Holy Spirit of God inside of me. And then he says this, the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. There's something mystical about the Spirit. There's something that's like, well, I'm being carried about by the wind of the Holy Spirit. I'm moving in my life directed by the moving of the Holy Spirit. And it's like wind. I don't know where it comes from or where it's going, but I see some of the effects of it. I'm moving along in my life and the Holy Spirit says, hey, speak to that person. The Holy Spirit says something over here. Or the Holy Spirit begins to direct your life in a way and we just say, yes, Lord. Even though sometimes it doesn't make sense. Being born again is allowing the Holy Spirit to control your life. Let me say it again. Being born again is allowing the Holy Spirit to control that other person's life. You need more of the Holy Spirit to control your life. No. I need more of the Holy Spirit to control my life. The question could be asked even right now, who controls your life? Who makes the decisions? Who do you live for? Do you live for yourself, your decisions, what you want? Or do you live at the bidding of the Holy Spirit of God? Does he move you according as the wind blows that he's using you here and there? Are we birthed and born again by the Spirit? It's what takes you from the fleshly natural walk to a spiritual miraculous walk with God. We need the Holy Spirit to reach our full potential. John said this in Matthew 3:11. I indeed baptize you with water into repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. We have this promise of this baptism of the Holy Spirit in fire. Something was going to happen. This word baptize. I love the word. You in Carpenter series are going to hear it a couple of times. It's the word baptizo. It's a Greek word, baptizo. It means to make whelmed or fully wet. The word whelm means to engulf or submerge. This idea of being submerged into the Spirit. Submerged into the things of God. Immersed, dripping with all the things of the kingdom of God about you. You're just fully immersed. Baptized in the Spirit. Engulfed in the fire. Completely yielded to the Holy Spirit. When the New Testament church was starting and those disciples started evangelizing and moving, I'll tell you what, they were dipped in something. They were set on fire. They loved not their lives to the death. And they lived for a cause greater than themselves. And they changed the world. They changed the world because the Holy Spirit empowered them. I want to talk this morning and maybe a few mornings about the attributes of the Holy Spirit. I want to talk about this baptism we're supposed to take, this Holy Spirit that's supposed to come upon us, this Spirit that was at the start and this Spirit that's at the end and all in between, this Spirit that moves throughout the Scriptures and does things that are blows our minds. The Holy Spirit, first of all, the Holy Spirit is a person. A person. He's not just some mystical force, but the Holy Spirit is a third person of the Trinity. The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, right? The third person of the Trinity. The third person of the Trinity. Not an it, but a he. Not a blob of mass or force or energy, but a person. And if he's a person, what does a person want? Oh, who said that? Way to go. Well, you're a pastor, so you should know that. He wants relationship, right? I mean, why are you guys all here? Because we like each other. That's true. Because, you know, I was talking to some person, they go, you know, people go to church where their friends go. They go there because their friends are there. Well, why is that? Why do your friends have to? Because I have relationship with my friends. I like to talk to my friends. I like to share my life with my friends. I like to find out what's going on in their life and they find out what's going on in my life. You see, the Holy Spirit is not some blob or force or some inanimate object who's sitting here going, and you rub its tummy and all of a sudden you get three wishes. Don't rub it. The Holy Spirit wants to relate with you. The Holy Spirit wants to talk to you. The Holy Spirit wants to dialogue with you. The Holy Spirit wants to converse with you. The Holy Spirit is a person who has feelings and emotions. The Holy Spirit wants to relate. He wants you to take time to sit down. Let's do coffee. Let's talk about the day. Let's talk about our lives. Let's talk about the future. The Holy Spirit is a person. We have conversation. I love, you know, Steve Stone, a lot of times when he's either prophesying or he's getting ready to do something that he believes the Holy Spirit is moving on him, I'll hear him say, come Holy Spirit. Help me Holy Spirit. To start talking to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit talks to him. We start talking and asking. And when we say, come Holy Spirit. You know what you're saying? I want relationship with you. I want you to come. I want you to evaluate. I want you to expose. I want you to change. I want relationship. I want to open my life up to you and have you take a look at it. And with the greatest of kindness that the Holy Spirit moves in. Have him change me. That's the greatest thing about God. He doesn't come and go, you filthy slob. You filthy, wretched man that you are. I want everybody to know how filthy and rotten this man. He doesn't do that. Thank you. He comes and he talks to you. And you say, oh, pretty good, blah, blah, blah. I know you're thinking about doing this, but you might want to do that instead. Okay. You answered that so quickly. Normally you don't answer it as fast as you did today. In front of all these people, you seem to move faster than when it's just me and you, but it's good, it's good, it's good. The Holy Spirit, He's not trying to put you in front of people, make you fall, unless you're really walking away from Him, unless you're dissing Him so much. He wants to gently, boldly, quietly help you become the man or woman or fulfill the calling that you have in your life. He wants to speak to you. He wants to help you. He wants to empower you. He wants to encourage you. You see, we're to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Dialogue with Him. Talk with Him. Ask Him to come. Ask Him to help you. I'm at the checkout stand. What should I say? Holy Spirit, give me the words. And He says, the Spirit will give you the words in the hour of need. Spirit, come and help me. I need words. I need words. Come, Holy Spirit. It's something that should be in the dialogue of a Christian, I think, all the time. Come, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I need you. Holy Spirit. Now, we know that He's there, but I'm saying that we're becoming aware. Aware. He wants to have intimacy with us. So He's a person. The Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is? He put it right in His name so you wouldn't forget it, okay? He's holy! I mean, it's the holy. It's not just, hey, the rotten spirit. It's not the ugly spirit. It's not the you're not so nice spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. The word holy here. It's a Greek word, hagios. It means an awful thing. So we're going, well, I thought the Holy Spirit was a good thing. No, it's an awful thing. You see, the word awful can mean bad. That's what we. But it can also mean filled with awe. Filled with awe. Something very large. Something very great is what the definition means. An awful thing. A sacred, pure, blameless, consecrated. The Holy Spirit is holy. That's in His name. In Leviticus 11:44, we have this Holy Spirit. In Leviticus 11:44, God is talking to Moses and He says, "For I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore consecrate yourselves and you shall be... For I am holy because He is holy." God's instructing Moses, I want you to be like Me. I want you to be like Me. I realize you're having some problems. You're making golden calves and yeah, I mean, we're having some problems here. But I want you to be like Me. I'm holy. I want you to be holy. I want you to be like Me. What an awesome privilege that God is giving to us to be like Him. He's asking us to do that. But the interesting thing is this. God invites us to be holy. But the problem is, we're not. Is anybody here? That's a problem. It's a problem. Be holy. All right. I'm not. Be holy. Okay. I'm not. Be holy. I'm not. God invites us to be like Him, to be holy, but the problem is we're not. So Jesus provides a way for us to be holy through forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah. He goes to the cross, pays the penalty, so we have right standing of righteousness with God, not because of what we do, but because of who lives inside of us. Right position. God invites us. Jesus provides for us. And the Holy Spirit, the three in one, the Trinity, three separate, but three one. The Holy Spirit sustains us to be holy by helping us in our daily life and decisions. You see, the Holy Spirit was given to us so we could be holy. So they could be set apart, blameless, pure, sacred, consecrated. We could be set apart for God. He's given us the Holy Spirit so we can make decisions that would honor God in His holiness. Now again, understand that we're positionally holy because of what Christ did for us. But the Holy Spirit helps us in the day-to-day decisions that you have to make, whether to be holy or not. Do you understand that every day you're making decisions to do that? Are you going to be holy or not today? I don't know that we ever think about it like that. Today I'm going to go out and be unholy. We just go, I'm going to go out and just whatever life, and it comes and we make mistakes. The Holy Spirit allows us to make decisions for holiness rather than evil. Day to day. That's why we're supposed to call upon Him. Holy Spirit, help me. Holy Spirit, what should I do? Holy Spirit, what decision should I make? Should I go out and do that tonight? Should I look at that tonight? Should I say that? Should I do that? Should I be that? Should I? Holy Spirit! Holy Spirit! Holy Spirit, help me! Because honestly, some of those things are very difficult. I kind of want to do that. I want to do it. Holy Spirit, I need help! I need help not to click, not to call, not to search, not to... I need help, Holy Spirit. He wants to help us. Christ makes us positionally holy and righteous. The Holy Spirit helps us to walk in holiness and righteousness so that we could fulfill, be holy, people, because your God is holy. Not holy in a holier than thou attitude with your head up because like I'm perfect, but a holiness that walks in humility that says, there by the grace of God, there by the power of the Spirit, I'm so thankful for the Lord. Hebrews 12:14 says, make every effort to live in peace with everyone and be holy. And then he says, without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Without holiness, no one will... God's serious about this holiness thing. Thank God that He sent Jesus Christ because we are positionally holy. Thank God we'll see the Lord because of Jesus Christ, because He made us positionally holy. Thank God we're going to go to heaven for one reason, because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross that made us positionally holy with God. I think, though, out of respect for that and excitement for that and love for what Christ did for us, He gave us the Holy Spirit so that we would then make decisions that would honor the holiness that God has placed inside of us. I'm thankful for that positional righteousness. But I want to work on my day-to-day holiness. My day-to-day decisions. My day-to-day life to honor God and be like Him. Are you different today than you were a year ago? Are you seeking to be more of what God has called you to be tomorrow? The Holy Spirit was given to help us along the way, to help us to grow, to help us in our walk with God, to help us fulfill our calling. Thirdly, the Holy Spirit is... I love this one. I got the power. I love the idea of power. Not for power's sake, so I got a six shooter. Hey, I can shoot you all up. The idea that we have something bigger than me to help me in the decisions I don't want to make. To help me do the things I don't want to do. To help me be the man that I really want to be. But don't always make the right decisions to be. The Holy Spirit is power. In Luke 29:49, Jesus said this, "Behold, I send the promise. That promise was the Holy Spirit of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are," say it with me, "endued with power from on high." Not, "I'm going to do you some power from the guy next door. I bought some stuff. Got a tank over here. I got some powerful thing." No. Something from on high. Something out of heaven. Something that comes down. Something that comes down from heaven. Endued with power. That word power is dunamis. It's where we get the word dynamite from. It means force or miraculous power or a miracle itself. Power. Dynamite. It's just dynamite power. That's only for older people. Endued. I love this word endued. Okay, I just really love this word endued. Because we're endued with power, right? And it's coming from up here. It's coming from heaven. And it's power. And we're going to be endued with it. What does endued mean? Endued, the Greek word here, enduo, it means sinking into a garment. To invest with clothing. As a matter of fact, the NIV uses, instead of endued with power, it says clothed with power. We're clothed with something. It's something is literally, it's like the Holy Spirit comes and He gives us something that we sink into. Something that we put on. This power is available, but you have to put it on, right? I can choose to put this jacket aside, or I can choose to put it on. That's my choice. Will we be endued with power, or will we not? Will you walk your Christian walk with that empowerment clothed upon you, or will you walk it by yourself? And a lot of times we understand, God, why is this so hard? He's going, because you left your coat behind.
Yeah, that's right.
Because you left the power behind.
Amen.
Because you didn't put it on. And sometimes, crazily enough, we're actually ashamed of it. We're ashamed of the Holy Spirit. Are we endued? Endued. Something from heaven was coming down here, and it would be put on us like a jacket, and it would give you power. Started thinking about that, and my mind went back to the Old Testament. It went back to a thing called a mantle. A mantle. A mantle in the Old Testament was a long cape-like thing that Elijah had. Remember that story? Elijah had it. Elijah had this mantle in 2 Kings 2:8-14. Please let me just kind of look back in the Old Testament. This concept about being clothed with something. Now Elijah took his mantle, his jacket, cape, he rolled it up, and he struck the water, the Jordan River, and it was divided this way and that. So the two of them, Elisha, his protege, was with him, crossed over on dry ground. And so it was when they had crossed over. I mean, that's a powerful thing. I mean, it's the Jordan River. And then it just divides. Now that's spectacular, right? We read it and go, okay, and then what happened next? We don't go, okay, what had to happen to make that happen? I mean, stuff has to just, it's, well, it wasn't at flood stage, it was lower. Okay, I don't care how low it was. When you go, and it goes, just like, that's cool. I want to see that on video. And so it was when they had crossed over, that Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask, what may I do for you before I am taken away from you?" Because he knew it was getting to the end of his life. Elisha said, "Please let a double portion of your
spirit.
Let a double portion of your
spirit.
Let a double portion of your spirit be upon me." I want something that you have. Not something that you own. I want something that's you. something inside of you. So he said, you have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so. Okay. Then it happened. As they continued on and talked, that suddenly a chariot of fire, boom, 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 appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Another interesting phenomenon that just happened. Boom, water opens up, and all of a sudden, hey, the Lord. I mean, I would like to go to heaven like that. Anybody else like to go like that? Be like, you know, what happened? It was the craziest thing. Pastor Phil was preaching. All of a sudden, a bunch of horses on fire, and everything came around. It was swirling around. And he just was preaching about this fiery message, and he got engulfed in fire, and he just went up, and we haven't seen him since. That's how I want to go, man. I'm just asking. Just. And whoever wants can have the jacket, okay? I don't care. It's just. And Elisha saw it. That was the condition, right? He met the condition. He saw him being taken up. And he cried out, my father, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen. And he saw him no more. But again, he fulfilled the condition, didn't he? And he took hold of his own clothes. Hear this now. He took his own clothes, his own stuff, his own who he was. And he tore them into pieces, into two pieces. I'm not going to illustrate that here. It was like I was at the international potluck last night, and I was talking to one of CJ's kids, and they have one of those shirts that's like, it has a hole right here and a hole right here. I look and I go, why did you rip your shirt? She goes, I didn't rip my shirt. I go, you ripped the other side. Why did you do that? I didn't rip my shirt. It came like that. Nobody would have a shirt come like that with holes in it, for crying out loud. I know you must have ripped that. She goes, no, Pastor Phil, I didn't rip it. He rips his clothes in two. Kind of not useful now, right? He also took up the mantle. I think at this point he rips his own stuff off, and he picks up a mantle and he puts it on. Is he going to be clothed with a different spirit right now? Because what he asked for, I want a double portion of your spirit. He puts it on. Takes his off. Puts Elijah's on. Because it had fallen from him. And he went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. Now he goes to the Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen. And he hits the water. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? When he had struck the water, it was divided this way and that, and Elisha crossed over. There's something about being clothed with a mantle. We see the typology in the Old Testament. We see the fulfillment in the New. Elisha got Elijah's mantle, his anointing. And by the way, he does two times the miracles that his mentor did, recorded in Scripture. Twice the miracles are done. He got twice the anointing. Here's an interesting fact, not biblical. I want to make sure that you know that this is not biblical. It's just a Jewish tradition. According to Jewish tradition, the mantle of Elijah was placed in a small chamber of the golden altar. Hundreds of years later, Zacharias removed the garment and kept it for the ministry of his son, John the Baptist. I know that's conjecture. I know that it's not biblical, but the interesting thing, remember, John the Baptist came in the spirit of Elijah. After Elijah goes up to heaven, he leaves behind the mantle, the cape, to give Elisha power to do twice the miracles. After Jesus goes up to heaven, he sends back his mantle, the Holy Spirit that we are endued with, that we are to put on like a garment or a cape and do the miracles that Jesus did, to walk in the power that Jesus walked in. And even Jesus said this in John 14, 12 and 17, "Most assuredly I say to you, whoever believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these will he do, because I go to the Father." And when he went to the Father, he sent the Holy Spirit. You see, there's something about a mantle. There's something about the Holy Spirit. There's something about what we're endued with. There's something about what we're clothed with. There's something about that we have. There's something about the power of God. He's given us power to be clothed with. Power to be clothed with. Power to live our Christian walk with. In Acts 1:8, Jesus said, "But you shall receive power," dunamis, power. When do I get this power? When does this power happen for me? When am I going to get this dunamis? When the Holy Spirit has come upon you. When he has whelmed you, engulfed you, clothed you with his power. And why do we have it? "And you shall be a witness to me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." God wants you to use your life as a witness for him. And he's going to give you the power to do it. A witness is one who has personal knowledge of something. One who testifies about that knowledge. Do you have personal knowledge about something? Do you have personal knowledge about Jesus Christ? Do you have personal knowledge of what he's done in your life? Do you have personal knowledge how he saved a sinner who is destined for hell and how he cleaned you up and put you on a different track? Do you have knowledge about what Jesus Christ can do in your life? Do you have that knowledge? Then Jesus is going to give you a power. He's going to clothe you with something. He's going to cause you to rise above your own conscience. He's going to cause you to rise above your own shyness. He's going to cause you to rise above your own, "Oh, I don't want to say anything." And he's going to give you a power, a dynamic power, that will allow you to stand and testify what Jesus Christ has done for you, so that the world might change their theology, their thoughts, their ideologies, and come to know Jesus Christ, so this world can be saved. I know it's scary. I know it's nerve-wracking. But you've got to understand, you've got something on you. Come, Holy Spirit, give me the words. Come, Holy Spirit, speak through me. Come, Holy... God knew it would be difficult for you. God knew it would be tough for you. So he gave you somebody to help you. He gave you power. Power. You have personal knowledge of Jesus Christ and what he can do in your life. And Jesus has empowered you with the Holy Spirit to testify to others what Jesus has done for you. God gives us the Holy Spirit to empower us so we can fulfill his call in our life to testify about Jesus. You see, with the Holy Spirit, you are more than who you are by yourself. With the Holy Spirit, I can't speak. I can't say, "Oh, I know you can't." But you're more than who you are when you put this on. You're more than who you... "Oh no, I would never. I'm too shy. I'm too this. I know. He knows that's... But he... That's... You're more than who you are when you wear this. Do you know that? Because the enemy doesn't want you to know it. The enemy doesn't want you to know it. I'm going to end right here. Father, I pray that, Lord, as we go through these next couple of weeks and begin to understand what we're clothed with, what changes us, what makes us more than who we are by ourselves, that empowers us, that endues us, that gives us this dynamic, dunamis power, so that we can be your witnesses. We can live as a testimony of you. We can talk with people about what happened in our life and how you changed us. And Lord, also, we have this power that will help us make decisions that are righteous and holy. And Lord, I'm so thankful that when we miss it, when we blow it, you don't just chide us and point your finger at us and ridicule us. You say, get up, come on, come on, come on, get back up. We can do better. Come on, I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you get back up. No shame. Get back up. Repent. Let's get going. Because I have a destiny for you. I have a jacket for you to wear. I have a life for you to live. I have a culture for you to change. And you can do it. You can do it. Because I am with you. Father, thank you for the Holy Spirit. I have to honestly say, I don't totally understand you, man. This Holy Spirit. But I'm so thankful that you give him to us. And Lord, let all of us, as we walk out of this place, walk proudly, not arrogantly, but with head held high, honoring the coat that we now wear because the Holy Spirit has endued us. This morning as we leave, Lord, would you do me one favor? If you would like to be more conscious, I'm just going to have you stand. I want to pray for you. If you want to walk a life more conscious of the Holy Spirit that you're wearing, more honoring, more talking to, and want more dialogue, want to ask him to come more often, want to consult him on more decisions, want to honor him with your life more, would you please just stand? And I want to pray for all of us because I'm standing. Lord, we, your people, we need you, Lord. We need to be more than who we are because we're just not enough, man, for all the decisions we face and we screw it up. But God, we pray that we would be endued with power from heaven. That the Holy Spirit would size us up and put that coat on us that fits just perfectly. That we walk in the anointing that you've given us. That we begin to fulfill the call that you have for us. That we'd make the decisions you want us to make for you. Because you've given us the Holy Spirit and his power. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to wear it with our head held high, knowing what we possess and knowing we can do everything you've called us to do, even though in ourselves we can't, because we're no longer in ourselves. We're clothed with a power from heaven. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you, everybody. You may be seated.